Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Happy anniversary, baby! Got you on my mind! Happy anniversary, baby! Got you on my mind!
We're back. It's 12 after. On this day... And let's see, what year was that? On this day in 1926, the National Broadcast Corporation, National Broadcasting Corporation, NBC, launched their very first radio show. And that was a big event for radio on this day. And then something else happened this week. And actually, that wasn't on this day. That was this week that NBC did that. I'm not sure what day they did it. It may have been yesterday. But also this week, 7 years ago, 1997, the Small Business Network launched its program, the Small Business Advocate. And one of the people who's been an abiding resource for us and a great friend to us, just about all those years, is our good friend Floyd Hurd. He's the author of a number of books, including his last one, Live Like You Mean It. Floyd's our good friend. Be sure to buckle your seatbelts and pull them tight, folks, and tighten your chin strap, too, because it's going to be a bumpy ride. Floyd Hurd's in the building. Floyd, welcome
Jim,
back.
How are you?
I'm all right.
Now, wait, weren't you there during that first radio broadcast?
I was, 1926, yeah.
Yeah, and let me think. So that
I was,
I was the board op
for one of those programs.
Yeah, and so you started the Small Business Advocate when you were, 67, 68?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, I mean, you, Jim, all things considered, you handle your age pretty well. Your voice is beginning to crack a little bit. That's one of the things.
Just a little bit. Well, and I've got a new cane, so I should be able to get back up to speed.
But just beat them women away from you as they start coming after you. So are you doing well?
I'm great. How about you?
Hey, listen, if I was any better, I'd be illegal. You know that.
I know that. I'm glad to have you here. What's on your mind today?
Well, listen, it's your anniversary, so get ready. You ready?
Happy anniversary to you.
Oh, God. That's enough, isn't it?
Yeah, that's enough.
Jim, let's talk about the last 7 years.
Okay.
What three things do you think have changed most in your view of small businesses?
See, folks, the problem with Floyd being on the show is I don't get to interview him. He interviews me. That's
not always true. What do you think of the three things that
I have learned about small business?
That you see might have changed the most. Oh. What's been going on that you see as a sort of a trend in the last 7 years?
The last 7 years is that small businesses, is a lot's changed. And one of them is that small businesses have to realize that they're not in Kansas anymore, and that the 21st century, we are in the 21st century, and it's more than just the ticking of a calendar. It's a new world, and for those small businesses who had traditional 20th century businesses, like a supply company or a dry cleaners or whatever business it might have been, a manufacturing company, whatever they were doing in the 20th century, they can still do the same things in the 21st century, but they have to do them differently.
In what ways do you see that things they have to do things differently? What specifically has changed?
The two things: the customer channels and the competitive channels.
Uh-huh.
Two things have changed significantly. In the 21st century, especially, you know, back when you and I were pups 20, 30 years ago, Floyd,
think of yourself, pal.
In the 20th century, you know, you kind of could pick out your competitors on one hand,
mm-hmm.
and you also had one or two opportunities to, you know, your customers, you knew where your customers lived, you knew them by name, and as a small business, and you had maybe one or two vendors per line of what you sold,
mm-hmm.
and you knew who your competitors were, and everything was kind of simple.
Mm-hmm.
But in the 21st century, things aren't that simple.
So you're saying number one of these things is that we have a cloudy working environment.
No, I won't say cloudy. Because it can't be cloudy. It's cloudy if you don't understand what I just said.
Mm-hmm.
But it is a lot more complicated because the internet has added new customer opportunities, but it's also added new competitive opportunities.
Do you think, given the pressures that small business owners face, that they are able to keep up with this rapid change?
I think that I definitely think that they're able to, Now, whether they do it or not are two different things.
All right. Would you say one of the areas where small business people have fallen down in the last 7 years is the desire to, not desire, but capability and or desire to keep up?
I think it depends on whether they embrace technology, because all these changes are being created by new technological capability, and if they can't put their track shoes on and run a little faster, then they're not going to make it.
Yeah. So
because
so that...
the thing is that what I have said, Floyd, many times is that there's nothing different in the world except one thing. You know, technology, a computer is just a fancy wheel.
Yeah.
Change has always been happening, and it's always been increasing in speed. But here's the difference. This is the only thing different under the sun today than it was 30 years ago, and that's the velocity of change.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the only thing that's different.
I could not agree more. I think that I'm just right now thinking about buying a new computer. And, you know, my computer still works really well, but it doesn't do everything I want. And this computer is probably 3 years old.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so I'm now looking at upgrading to the next one. And that means a certain amount of my time is going to be spent learning that new system, et cetera,
right.
et cetera.
Absolutely.
So as a small business owner, you know, I've got to find ways to streamline my learning curve. Because, you know, I think as the new technology comes on board, it takes us a certain amount of time to get up on that speed and also work out the bugs. And
All right.
You wonder how – you know that's not productive. You know it isn't productive.
Right. But, see, do you see the opportunity in all that? There's opportunity.
Yeah,
would you like me to help
really
you understand the opportunity?
No, there is an outstanding – but the problem with it is that, you know, when you've got two balls in the air – and I'm not a juggler, but keeping your eye on the business ball and then keeping your eye on the technology ball at some times is really tough.
Well, see, no, you're exactly right. You're 100% right. And the thing is, though, is that I'm going through that right now myself. We've got some new technology in our offices that we're incorporating into our operation. But the thing is, here's where the opportunity is. Number one is I've got an opportunity to increase the effectiveness of my company, but there's an opportunity out there for another company who can knock on my door and say, "Hey, Jim, how would you like it if I ramped up your learning curve by cutting through all the baloney and showing you exactly what you need to know in about an hour and a half?"
That is exactly the next point.
That's where we're
and
going.
And I hear music.
We're going there after these messages, folks. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, having a great visit with our good friend Floyd Hurt, the author of Live Like You Mean It. Don't unbuckle those seatbelts. Floyd's still here. We're back. It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. My website is www.jbsba.com. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter. When you get there, don't forget all the other things you can do, like finding out more about our good friend Floyd Hurt, the author of Live Like You Mean It, Exhilaration of Being in Control. It's an outstanding book. I certainly recommend it to you. Floyd, tell us where it's available, please.
Just go to Amazon. You know, do your normal thing. Barnes & Noble, Amazon. If they don't have it, order it.
H-U-R-T, Floyd Hurt. And sometimes he hurts me a little bit with his questions, but he likes to ask me those. And so,
all
Floyd,
right. let me ask you one more question.
Here we go again.
We don't have a lot. What do you think? Let me get one or two of the most detrimental things small business owners do to themselves.
What's the most detrimental thing small business owners do to themselves?
Mm-hmm.
I think it's not realizing. And this is it. I think this is the kernel of all of that. They don't realize that in the 21st century, small businesses should do the things that they do that are their core competencies, and the things that puts rocks in the box,
mm-hmm.
and let somebody else do everything else. And mm-hmm. and I have this little question that I encourage small business owners to ask themselves all the time, and that is this. if you're looking, look at any task in your business and say, must this be done in-house? Mm-hmm. If the answer is no, find somebody else to do it.
Now, what do you tell someone who has a cash flow consideration with that?
You mean, what do you mean cash flow? You mean
to go out and spend $1,000 and someone come in and do a specific task that.
Well, there's got to be, you know, there's got to be an ROI there. But the thing is that you mentioned it a minute ago. This is all about time.
Yep.
Back to what I said earlier. In the 21st century, we're valuing our time more than our money, and it is more valuable than money because we can get more money. We can't get more time.
Yep, I agree completely.
And so the problem is that what we've got to do is we've got to say, okay, this is really bogging me down. This particular project really holding me up. But today I can't afford to have somebody else do it. So I'm just going to deal with it. I'm going to work nights or weekends. But a year from now, my sales go up and my profits go up. My business grows. And I say, okay, now I'm ready. Let me call John and I'm going to let John do this part time. I'll pay him $1,000 because I can make $3,000 with that same time when I have it back.
Absolutely. I think when I first started my advertising agency, I did everything from washing the windows to writing the copy to actually recording the radio commercials.
Absolutely.
And things like that. And, you know, Jim, that's what a small business person has to do. But I think you have to relinquish those things at some point. You're absolutely right. Mm-hmm. And focus on your core competencies. And, you know, my strength was always running the business and knowing exactly what needed to be done. I also think one of the things I find was, in fact, yesterday I was over, I don't know if I told you this, but I'm now doing sculpting. I'm a sculptor, Jim.
I think you mentioned that.
Okay, which means I can take a perfectly good piece of rock and make gravel before it's over, but that's about it. But anyway, I'm also working in metal, and I went over to a place to have a guy polish some stuff. And I think that, you know, I love little small businesses like that, 2-3 man operation.
Yep.
You know, he doesn't take everything into consideration when a customer walks in. An example, and this is just one example. I'm in there to talk to him. He lights a cigarette. Mm-hmm. Now I don't smoke. Okay. And he's probably very capable. But you know what I remember mainly about that is I had to sit there and breathe his smoke.
Right.
Now, it's not a judgment about smoking. It's just a judgment about his not considering that a customer might not want that. And I think small business people in every respect, and you said it to the point where it's, you know, I feel like I want to throw up sometime, you got to take the customer into consideration.
That's right.
Every single thing you do says, am I serving this person? Not to the point where you're undermining your business. I find it absolutely unconscionable that people buy something, use it one day, take it back the next day, and get their money back. That's ridiculous.
That's right.
You know, I think you've got to be very careful about how you treat your customer. We know the cost of getting a customer. We know the cost of losing a customer. So when someone walks into your office, and you've heard me say this, it should be clean, it should work. Okay, and that means the trash should be taken out, the windows should be cleaned. The feeling of that office should say to me as I walk in, I want to come back. Because remember, there are two things, repeat and depth of repeat in business.
Well, and also, don't forget, and the rest of that story, as you know, is when they get there, you got to make them want to come back because of the relationship that they think that they can build with you. Because, you know, the biggest, you asked about mistakes earlier, one of the biggest mistakes they make is they won't pay attention to the customer who's come in to do business with them.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're too busy trying to figure out how to get new customers.
Absolutely.
And as you told us many times, it's a lot cheaper to keep a customer than it is to get a new one.
Right, and I'm always amazed when I'm in there buying something and the phone rings and they pick it up and talk to that person on the phone.
Right.
That person may or may not buy. I am there to buy.
Right.
You don't wait, say, hold on a second.
But I'm the kind of guy who says, pardon me, I was here first.
And I have money in my hand and that mm-hmm. person doesn't. You know, and I think those are the considerations. To me, I think small businesses lose focus on that because, you know, they've got other considerations that are weighing on them. They've got an accounts payable problem. They've got an accounts receivable problem. They've got a delivery that's late. But that does not resolve the issue of the customer relationship.
Hey, Floyd, you know what, though? It's the stuff that dreams are made of.
That's true.
Thank you, Floyd.
Jim, it's always a pleasure.
Your pleasure to have you here. It's a pleasure to have you as part of our Brain Trust.
Let's do some chicken sometime.
We'll do it at Mickey's Tavern. Thanks,
you got
Floyd.
It, pal.
See you, buddy. Floyd Hurt, ladies and gentlemen, the author of Live Like You Mean It. Quick break. Right back with Bill Dunkelberg after these messages. This show is brought to you by IBM and Office Depot.
You're gonna want me for your
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.